نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي الغال فضل. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم.
Our circumstances this day and age, and nowadays upon the Ummah, we have a unique situation that faces us, especially our new generation, the younger generation. They have their own unique problems and issues. And it looks like that such a big society, Islamic society, that it's sort of broken into small pieces and it has no tartib, and there are a lot of issues and problems everywhere. A lot of challenges. And it's a weird situation that we can't see which direction it's going in. And it's not the case that the solution is not present for this, because there is a hal, there's a solution for every issue. A sheikh said that in a couplet, in a verse that he wrote, where about the Holy Prophet ﷺ, there were solutions at that time, that when he came from Hira and he had the kitab that Allah Ta'ala had revealed to him, and that was like a solution. It was a solution. And everything is related to that still. If we look at the different nations and countries in the world, and we have different peoples living, and to run the country, first and foremost, they make a constitution. Constitution is a kitab or a book in which there are laws, and according to that, the country is run. There's a lot of detail in that, and everything they refer to, the constitution, they have the parliament, they have their meetings, they have their rules. And the whole country is under the principle of the constitution. This is the case, isn't it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gave us the deen of Islam, then Allah has given us a constitution that we see. That we see these beautiful Qurans that are printed around us, we look on the shelves, all different colors and different designs, and they are printed in beautiful colors. And this is our constitution, the kitab. And that qawm can never progress if it does not follow its constitution. You'll see that as well. That today, if you look at any country, and those people, if they leave their constitution, then it's a country without law and order. It's destroyed. It crumbles. It cannot run. It cannot progress because it's left its principles. The constitution says that for this crime, the punishment is this long. And if the judge says, I'm not going to pass that sentence, then will that country progress? Or if the constitution says that, it doesn't matter who it is, rich, poor, big or small, whoever commits that crime, he'll be arrested and he'll be given the punishment. They'll say, no, leave the rich people and arrest the poor people, or we'll just use influence of people, etc. Will the country progress? No, it cannot progress. It cannot succeed. It cannot function. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Islam, I'm not giving a speech here, I'm just speaking based on fikr, concern, because all of us sitting here, we need to improve our society, we need to look after our generation, we need to improve our homes, our households. So if, for example, we develop understanding, then we should develop good understanding. It's never too late. It's never too late. Before death, if a person realizes, then it's not too late. Oh, if you say, oh, time has passed now, it's too late, I've got a white beard now, white hair, leave it. No, never think like this. Until the final breath, consider that if I can improve myself, then I've succeeded, if Allah allows us to succeed. So Allah Ta'ala has put such a thing into our life, which is tawbah, repentance, that before death comes, if you repent, then everything's forgiven. Yes, and people here, they don't forgive. Rather, in this world, they say, bring all of his errors, and they look at them. But Allah says, no, bring all the sins, and I'll transform them into good deeds. This is, our Rabb is so great, alhamdulillah, our Lord, our Creator, that He doesn't want to send anyone into hellfire. Shaitan comes, nafs come against us, we have problems, issues, a person commits sins, he does bad actions, he talks rubbish or nonsense. But if any time in his life he wakes up, with Allah's rahmah, every second is waiting. Allah says, put your hands out, come to me any time, however you come, Allah Ta'ala says. And most of all, Allah Ta'ala says, beloved, Allah Ta'ala likes that person, and happy is a person like me, broken down, and says, Allah, forgive me. Allah says, today is the day of celebration. Today is the day of happiness. Tell me. So that's how Allah is Ar-Rahman, He's Rahim. He loves His servants, He loves His creation. Then who can go into hellfire? It's our own shaitaniyat and evil inclination. So this is the masala today, that if today, if we pull ourselves together, let's see what journey are we on, what path are we on, and we can look after ourselves. So what we realize basically, as we discussed, that all the countries and nations and tribes are destroyed when they don't follow their constitution. So we haven't in reality also followed our constitution. This is the reason for everything. This is the only reason that we read the Quran a lot. Alhamdulillah, it's beneficial, beyond beneficial, nur ala nur, recite and read the Quran as much as you want. But the Quran wasn't sent for reading, it was sent primarily for amal. Remember, when something is given, it should be used for what is. For example, you do tawaf of the Kaaba, do tawaf as much as you can, as much as you want, alhamdulillah, nur ala nur. But for the Kaaba wasn't sent for tawaf, you have to do tawbah first. Yes, do tawbah at the Kaaba. That's His function. You're very close. Allah's rahmat, tajalli descends, and Allah will immediately forgive the sins. But there, we do tawaf physically, zamzam, dates, kiss the Kaaba, embrace it, but we don't want to ask for forgiveness. So have we then utilized the Kaaba properly? No. So even if you just go to the Kaaba for 1 second, and you say, Allah, I've just come for this reason, I've only got 1 second, Allah, forgive me, then you have taken the benefits of the Kaaba. You have taken the benefits of the Kaaba. Even if you didn't drink zamzam, even if you didn't go around it once, but you have done the best of actions at the Kaaba. So Hajj, what is the real Hajj? Present yourself at Arafah. How long? The whole day? No. Just a few seconds if you arrive to Arafah on the days of Hajj, you are Haji. Yes. So Allah Ta'ala, He hasn't put such a scale of hardship, do this much time and toil and struggle, not at all. Allah's rahmah is ajeeb and unique. But we have to do the action according to the way Allah has defined. Wherever He has given the tariqah, follow that tariqah. If we follow that method, in that manner, in that style, then Allah is the King of Kings, there's no delay. So the Quran is there. We read it, recite it, we look at it, read the tafsir, recite as much as you can, as much as you want. There are thousands of effects of the Quran. Nothing compares to the Quran. There's nothing that compares to the Quran. There's the greatest guide, is the Kitab of Allah. But there's no other one wahid primary objective Allah has given us, the Quran, that you have to do amal on this kitab, and if you do amal on this constitution, your life, so that your life totally passes the way that Allah wants you to pass it. And never can we leave the wretchedness that we have in our lives if we don't follow the Quran properly. And Allah says, from Alif Lam Mim till Nas, the Quran, this is the honor of the Quran, it's the miracle, it's the karamat of the Quran, that take any verse of the Quran, it is enough to guide us. I'm not saying this, our pious predecessors have told us this. One verse of the Quran, that if you select that verse with this niyyah, that I want to have guidance. The pious predecessors have stated that, I swear by Allah, Alif Lam Mim is enough for you, if you have the intention. You don't even need to go beyond Alif Lam Mim. From Alif Lam Mim, you'll become that human being that you'll have the highest grade in paradise. But no. We have nifaq in our hearts, and we have issues and problems and shaitan, and evil inclinations, then you can have the Quran inside you and have it in books and beautiful designs, but it won't affect you. I am this, I am that. It's not about what you are. It is about hidayah. Who has taken hidayah? Who is attaining guidance from the Quran? This is the objective. Whoever has taken hidayah, then subhanAllah, he has recited Quran correctly. This is the objective, that this kitab, that are we spending our life according to this kitab? Is my morning like this? Or is my evening like this? Or is my tijarat like this? Or are my mu'amalat like this? And my societal actions like this? My ma'ashara like this? Is my politics like this? Everything in the dunya that we're doing, that you can see, everything, whatever is in the dunya, that is it not sealed in the Quran, the guidance for whatever you see in the dunya? Everything, this guidance, is our life according to this? We can't say, no, that we'll follow the dunya worldly constitution and we won't take from the Quran. How can we practice this? No. The kalam Allah, it's the book of Allah. Brothers, there's nothing that's missing from the Quran. Nothing can be added, nothing can be reduced. Yes, any masala, any issue you want to solve, the Quran will solve it. But niyyah should be correct. Should be hope for the hereafter, that, and you really want the guidance and to meet Allah in the hereafter. So where does this start? The mashallah society? That mashallah, you've grown older, some people have gone taller, somebody will get married soon, somebody's children are young, somebody's elder. Everyone listen attentively to what I'm saying to you. Yes, it's not too late. Whoever is about to get married, listen attentively. He whose children are very young, then listen carefully to what I'm saying. Why? Because everybody has a desire that this child, my children, I want them to be very good. You have a plan for that, and you have a tariqah, a method for that. Forget that. Forget all other things. Forget all other plans. I will do this. I want to make him this. Give him this career. Make my child like this. Send him to this madrasa. Do this. Hifz, etc. Forget all of this. Yes, let's go towards the Quran. That Allah, how shall we improve our society? Because if the child is correct, then the society is correct. Say subhanAllah. Yes, if your one child is improved, then the whole family through generations will be improved. If one is spoiled, then everybody is spoiled due to that one. Yes, that one rat or mouse, if it dies, then it affects the whole of that what's around it. So same way that one single person has power, has an effect. So that's where the story starts from. The how do we bring this child up? That when he becomes one and he's good, then he'll make the society good. So let's ask the Quran. That such a beautiful guidance. One verse that comes in my mind, even mashallah, recite to you, Lord, educated qaris and father sat here listening. Ya ayyuha ladheena amanu qu anfusakum, Allah says. وَهَلِكُمْ نَارًا. Now this verse, after that, tell me, do we need to have guidance from anything else? The iman and society, such a strong Islamic society we can develop that no power of the dunya can make it shake. Yes, you will see no lack of iman in that society, no nonsense words, no injustice, no oppression. Rather, such a human being he'll become that non-Muslims will come and see him and become Muslims as well. This is our constitution. Our constitution, one verse, Allah Ta'ala has in this verse of the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladheena amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Qu anfusakum. What has Allah Ta'ala said? That, O people of Iman. So this is the quality Allah Ta'ala has differentiated those people who have Iman, correct Iman. And how fortunate is that person? That Allah says, وَمْتَازُلْ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Allah says that you are separate from the mujrims, from the oppressors. So that before we could see that there were people all doing the same thing. Allah Ta'ala says, I differentiated, there's the thieves and there's the bandits and there's the munafiqs, etc. But Allah says that here, Allah says the decision will be made in the hereafter, that who is on the right, who's on the wrong. That is the time that will come, say subhanAllah. That time is coming. So my brothers, Quran is instructed. What has it instructed us? That think about yourself. How should you think about yourself? Save yourself from the fire, which is a real fire. Save yourself. Allah Ta'ala says, save yourself from the fire and also your ahl, your families from that fire. So then you make the whole society like that. Tell me, if you are not improved yourself, then you cannot improve others. That's why Allah Ta'ala gives hukum first, that you correct yourself first. Not that you keep telling other people, oh, he's like this, don't do this, I keep telling people. No, it's not the case. First, the individual has to correct himself. First, correct yourself. So now the question arises that how should we look after ourselves? How do we improve our society? Children are young. How should we start their life off? Allah has given us a complete nizam. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. One thing Allah Ta'ala has given to us, nothing else has Allah Ta'ala given to us. Wahid, one solution Allah has given to us through which our society will start, it will end, and our akhirah will get success. Everything is based on that one factor. First and foremost, Allah Ta'ala has given that to us. It's a verse in the Quran. Allah has ordered in the Quran, Allah says, order your families that establish the salah, pray salah. Clear guidance. One is the hukum. First, Allah says, that save yourself and your families from that fire of hell. If you want to be improved, how should we improve ourselves, Allah? How's Allah instructed, guided? Allah says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ, that to correct yourself and your families and society and your home and your children to save them from hellfire. Wahid, the one action which you need to pay attention is that you pray salah yourself and also make your families pray salah. You don't have to do anything else apart from this first action. Now, this hadith that comes. Totally according to a system, Allah has given us guidance. Now, if I want to improve my family, then what action should I work hard on? What should I put the weight on and persist on? Nothing else, as Allah said. Nothing else, make them do hijj, do this and that. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. First action we need to do is one action. What is that? Emphasize, وَأْمُرْ أَلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. And then Allah said on top, that you, your family, instruct them for salah and how? وَاسْتَبَرْ عَلَيْهَا. Subhanallah. But be careful of one thing, that you also need to be regular on this practice. Oh, just do dua for me, I want my child to be this. Oh, do dua, I want to make my child like this and that. And yourself, you don't have that practice. So this is not the law. The Quran gives us, our constitution tells us, that first and foremost, what you need to do, you also have to pray salah first and foremost in front of your child. You also have to be regular in salah, total, complete salah. Hadith comes in Abu Dawood, in my mind, is coming, I'll share it with you, that person who gets married, husband and wife, so our society is being developed. Where has our society been spoilt? Where have we gone wrong from this action that we have not started our lives with salah in our homes? Islam doesn't start from this. Everyone has his own standard. I'll do this, I want this with the children, I'll make my child this when he grows up, I'll do this. Forget all of that. Everything. Yes, do what the Quran is telling you, the system of the Quran. Allah's Nabi practically has shown to us, demonstrated to us. What happened? That there's a hadith in Abu Dawud, it's just come out of my mind now. That person, that's the meaning of the hadith I'm sharing with you, that his wife, he wakes her up in the night, and after waking her up, he invites her towards salah. When the husband and wife both pray salah, then Allah Ta'ala, he includes both of their names amongst the zakirin in Jannah, in paradise. So has anyone from us ever done this? We think the wife just make the chapatis, the wife think that the husband will just provide the money and the food, and I'm going on work and you go to work as well, and we'll see salah after that. Or we'll just send the children to Mulana Sahib, to the madrasa, and he'll teach them salah. And he'll teach them salah. The children, we send them to study. Yeah? Okay. And what will that person teach you? But in the house, nobody teaches the child Quran. Nobody, no mother teaches the sabak to the children. We don't have time. Until that child does not go home and repeat, and the mother doesn't work hard, then how will that child study and learn? No, everything Mulana Sahib will do. This is not our mashara in our society. So who's Allah Ta'ala ordering and instructing? Mulana Sahib? Who is Allah Ta'ala instructing? Who is Allah Ta'ala ordering? Who is the instruction to? To the mother and father, Allah Ta'ala has given the instruction. That you need to do this action. How will you do it? That when you start to do amal and pray salah regularly in front of the children, then the child automatically will pray salah. You can experience this. Yes, the child who is young, if you start wearing imamah in front of the child, there is no need to tell the child that imamah will never come off the head of that child the whole life. It will never come off the head of the child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the child's reactions according to the elder. Now, for example, we used to read this story when we were young kids, when we used to go to madrasa. And it was a very easy method to influence the child. Child's not in a good track and he's getting spoiled. No child can be spoiled if we follow Allah's constitution. Because children, they are not aware initially. And there was a story now I'm telling you. So there was a person who used to sell topis, caps, and he got tired. It was afternoon time. He was under the tree and he lay down to rest for a little while. And his topis, the basket full of topis, he put it next to him and he lay down and he went to sleep. We used to study this in the kitabs, a story. I remember this in my young age. We used to study at school. So when his eyes opened and the topis had disappeared, the caps had disappeared from the basket. He said, "Oh, this is a big problem. Where all my topis gone from my basket?" He looked here and there. He's looking all the way around. Who's this thief? Where's the thief? When he looked up, then on the tree there were the monkeys, and all of them were wearing the topis, the caps. And all the monkeys that were on the tree, on the branches, all were wearing the topis. And they came down, took all the topis from the basket and went back on the tree. He said, "Ooh, amazing. These monkeys, they've done a unique action here." He thought, "What shall I do here? Because I can't get my topis back. Which monkey shall I catch? How will I get them back?" Then he understood the way. He said that Allah Ta'ala has created this qawm and they really like to imitate quickly. So he took his topi and he slammed it down 2-3 times on the ground. When the monkeys saw this, they all took their caps off and they threw them down to the ground. And then he got all his caps back. So the children, they are like monkeys. Whatever you do in front of them in your young age, in the young age, then they'll start imitating you as well. You start swearing. Yes, they'll swear in a brilliant way. And if you start listening to music, they'll listen to music. If you dance, they'll start to dance. If you lie, they'll start lying. And we regularly, in front of the children, the phone comes, we say, "Tell them I'm not home." The young child is saying, "Phone is coming, ringing." And the parent says, "The phone's coming. Tell them, pick the phone up and say, I'm not home." So the child is imitating his, following the instruction of the father. Do you understand? So this is our constitution that we are being told. Ku anfusakum. Save yourself. First improve yourself. And then the awlad I will give to you. They will see you and automatically they will also be on the right path. Yes, that's it. We're sat here pulling our hair around. New generation, what should we do? Conferences and speeches. Oh, servants of Allah, Allah has given us this colorful Quran. One verse is enough in this Quran. One verse, just one verse I've recited today. What conference do you need? Improve yourself, correct yourself, pray salah yourself, children pray salah. So where does our deen start from? What hukum is being given by Allah? Allah says salah. One thing, that's it. First and foremost, the action you have to implement, the hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, when the child is 7 years old, then bring the child towards salah, remind the child about salah, bring him to the masjid, and show him the masjid, the house of Allah. Show him that here's the masjid, here's the wuzu area, this is ghusl area. Introduce the child towards the salah, repeatedly bring the child to the masjid, this is the house of Allah. Prayer comes into the mind of the child. You don't have to do anything else. You don't need to go towards the Quran. First and foremost, take the child towards where? Salah. Salah. According to the rules of the Quran, stage by stage, step by step. Just take the child of by the finger and explain the pray salah with topi, pray with imamah, with the thobe, with the Islamic dress, Allah's happy like this. Little pointers into their mind. But we don't have time, I can't run away from the shop. Don't have time to run away from work to tell the children. So how will the child be improved? They'll just smoke cannabis and commit theft and gangster actions and do haram. One will do the other child and the jails will be constructed. Cells will be murder and fighting and oppression. That's what's happening around us in society. Because we haven't done amal on our constitution. So why are the children spoiled? Why are women folks spoiled? Why are the children spoiled? For this reason. So by chance, if we do bring a child to the masjid, then that child, if he's done something wrong, we start beating that child. I've seen this myself in this masjid. They start beating them and telling off, the whole masjid screams at the child. Well, the one child is in Randall Masjid, I'm saying, there was a child, poor soul, and I saw this myself. Because we don't have the manners, we don't have the akal, the tamiz, what hukum has Allah Ta'ala given to us? That like we are worse than animals because we've left the Quran. That qawm that leaves its constitution, then becomes the worst nation. For this reason, Islam and the Muslim is such a great qawm, such a great people, such azim, great people, whose glory is unique. Muslims and Islam, its glory is unique. And here we have different actions. We have no tartib, because we have left our constitution. We've left our kitab. We don't do amal on our kitab. So one tariqah, we've taken Quran, that we just want fame and status and show off. And this is the Quran for amal. The Quran teaches us amal, O servants of Allah. From the Quran, learn how to live life. Learn how to walk and sit down and stand up and live in society from the Quran. So then, salah. First and foremost, Allah says, pray salah, establish salah. How great an action will salah be? Tell me. How valuable, so valuable is salah. Then the world, you'll get success through salah. And whoever salah is correct, he will go into paradise in the hereafter. So we just need to do one thing and emphasize on one thing and practice one thing. What action? Say loudly. Salah. That's it. Nothing else to do. Nothing else to do. Child, teach him salah. Teach salah to the womenfolk. Teach salah to the wife. And we need to teach salah to the society. Make masjids for salah. Correct our salah. This is our job, our duty. Duty, whoever's grabbed hold of salah, his children are correct. Society is correct. Our deen is correct. Islam is correct. Jannah you've attained. Now, I'm not being jazbati. I'm not being passionate for nothing. I'm just telling you what the Quran is saying to us. In our houses, there's no salah. Then where will deen come from? Tell me. Children, how will they be corrected and improved? Because we are going against the constitution. The constitution says this. Allah says, start your lives with salah. Teach the children salah. And when the child is 7 years old, as is being told to us in the hadith, then just go after the child. Keep persisting. You have to pray salah. Come to salah. When the child is 10 years old, then you can also give the punishment to the child for not praying. Then strictness comes into it. Firm. But alhamdulillah, that child from 7 years old, when he looks at his mother and father who are praying tahajjud regularly, and they pray salah regularly, when that child observes that from 7 years old, then the question doesn't arise. That you'll make him an alim, you'll make him the hafiz, you'll make him the qari, very good indeed, but he won't make him namazi. We won't make him namazi. We'll say this, I want my child, he's a very good qari, he's gone to Hindustan, Pakistan to do this and technically learn this. Until today, I've never heard a father say this, that my child, he is really regularly observant in tahajjud salah. Until today, I've never heard a father praise his son like this. Why? Because he wants dunya. Yeah? There's no akhirah. So we want happiness, we want the praise of the akhirah. I'll speak about my own life. What I've seen, observed. Oh, my son is this. He's done. He studied here. Went to that college, that institution. I keep listening to this. Until today, I've not heard any. Not until today haven't I met any father. Yes, very nicely, my son prays salah. If you see salah, is so beautiful. He does dua so nicely. Wakes up tahajjud, mashallah. Until today, I've not heard this. Yes, that is not the education. That we're not given the education. So this constitution, doesn't it tell us this? It tells us something else. If you want to praise your children, that praise them in such a way. My children are great in salah. And he's namazi now and he's working hard on his salah now. Because he heard about salah. The salah, you have to take it to the hereafter. The father is telling this to the 7-year-old child. That if you want to see Allah, then elevate your salah to the highest point. Allah Ta'ala has promised that through your salah either you should feel as if you are seeing me. And if not, then at least I'm watching you. Give this target to the child. Every child has a desire. When we heard about stories about Allah, when the children hear stories, they say, Allah, Mia is like this, Allah is like this, Jannah is like this. And if you tell the children, little small children, 4 years old, 5 years old, and there was a teacher, Appa, she was teaching and she was saying about Jannah, little child who said, I'm telling you the truth here, he was a 4-year-old child, I think, kept on listening, said, oh, let's go up there now, teacher, why are we sitting here? Let's go. So this is the passion of the child, mashallah. So when their child listens about Allah and hears about Jannah, paradise, from 7 years old, there'll be a consciousness that I want to take my salah to the highest level. Then you look for the tariqah, the method, pray salah. First learn salah, go to salah. It'll increase, improve. It'll come to such a stage where he will look for salah. How can I pray salah so that it's as if I'm seeing Allah, that I can attain miraj. And this is our constitution that teaches us this. And whoever looks for salah like this, will he be a thief? Will he consume haram? Will he do wrong actions? Will he lie? Will he do wrong? He is improving his salah. When he improves his salah, when a person starts to improve his salah, then how can he do wrong actions? He'll save his eyes, save his mouth, save his body, save his hands, because he wants to safeguard his salah. Our whole deen is salah. So maybe you agree with me what I'm saying, but I am steadfast on this point. That's what I've learned from the Quran. My sheikh taught me this, the son. Salah, establish your salah and make it on that level always, doesn't matter what happens. So maybe you agree with what I'm saying or not, but everything is based on salah. And who tells us this? The Quran tells us this. Qoo anfusakum. One thing will save you and your family from the fire. What is that? Salah. Why salah? Allah is kept 5 times a day. Why does Allah time and time again call us back repeatedly? And compulsory, Allah forces us. Calls us. Why? And how? Allah says, leave everything when you have to come to me. Forget everything around you. And it should not even come in your heart when it's time for salah, the worldly things. This is the feeling of salah, the emotions, as Aisha Siddiqa said. And the Prophet demonstrated this, because mashallah, he was a physical demonstration. And he was a great example, and he used to practice this. His glory was, subhanAllah, unique. As Aisha Siddiqa said, that when the time for salah came, then the Prophet would forget us, and it would be like he didn't even know we existed. We were there. Suddenly, he would transform and change, and he physically gave us example. Aisha, you're not Aisha now. Hafsa, you're not Hafsa now. Why? Because Allah is calling me for salah. This is the shan of the mu'min. When Allah calls for salah, when the call comes from the masjid, leave the shop, you leave dunya, everything you forget, and run, hasten to the masjid for salah. Who do we need to teach this to? To our children, these points. How will they learn? They don't pray salah himself, the person who's teaching. Go, sometimes pray, sometimes left, sometimes shortcut, go there. The society will never be made. Remember, our children will never be developed. If we leave the constitution, we'll keep on crying our people, and then azabs will descend and punishments will come, and other people will capture you, and such azab will come into our society that are happening right now in front of our eyes. What's happening in the dunya now? First and foremost, which qawm most of all is slipping and falling and tripping? Whose fault is it? Them? No, zalims, oppressors. Allah Ta'ala said, I've ordered them that grind them down. Get their necks and grind them down. Allah, that's how He gives them hukam. Allah says, beat them and make them zaleel, make their women zaleel in front of them. That's how Allah Ta'ala shows punishment. This is that qawm that gave them Quran. They haven't understood my Quran, Allah says. Yes, they just have kept the Quran for fame and not for amal, not for practice. Isn't it, brothers? Isn't this the case? So one salah. We can't even practice one deed up to now. Then how will our children be developed? How will we develop the society? Tell me. And so easy an action. And salah within salah. The whole deen and the dunya, Allah has put within salah. The whole of the solutions of the dunya, Allah has put in salah. Say subhanAllah. Yes, I was reading. So much research other people have done regards to our salah, our prayer. Do you know this? Other people, non-Muslims, even have researched about salah. We don't even get a chance to do these and think about these things. About wudu, their research findings that they have written and published, they say that this is such a great action that Allah has given to the Muslims that they haven't even understood themselves what this is. That the start of salah is wudu, then imagine what salah itself will be if wudu itself is so great in its impact. Shall I tell you a little bit about this? If it comes in my mind, then I'll share a few points with you. We're discussing these points, aren't we? I'm not giving a speech here to you. Yes, I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just telling you that what is our hal. So do you promise that you will teach salah to your children? Do you promise that will you start your deen? Where will you start from? From salah. Your lives start from salah. That's it. And how will we teach our children? What has Allah Ta'ala instructed? That Allah says that you have to establish salah in front of your children. What you want to teach your children, you need to establish yourself, especially the women folk. That's when the child will learn salah. Not through speeches. No, you have to demonstrate, physically implement, just like those monkeys who took off the caps and threw them down, then your children will do more sujood than you. Salah. Wudu, subhanallah. Come, let's look at wudu. What is wudu? Ablution. Yes, I was a little unwell, but when I started speaking, then I speak ongoing, alhamdulillah. Yes, my family member said, you've taken so many tablets, you're ill. Are you ill? You're doing drama? I said, no, I get such an environment in the majlis, then I get more health and vibrancy. So, where do we start from? Wudu. Let's start from wudu. Hands. We wash our hands first. So research tells us, we don't believe ourselves or Mawlana Sahib, we say talk rubbish. You know, when Mawlana Sahib says something, and other people research, we say, oh, look at the research. We've got such an inferiority complex. Don't even ask. Inferiority complex that qawm has when they leave their traditions and ways and they become slaves of other people. No. Who said this? No. Forget Mawlana Sahib. Forget the Deendar people. Oh, Mawlanas, they keep on talking. We're not interested. They're jahil, ignorant. What do they know about these people? And that person doesn't even know how to do istanja. They don't even know how to clean. But we run after their research and their writings. But so this is inferiority complex. And the isasi kamtri in Urdu. In other words, when we belittle ourselves and that qawm, such as azim qawm of Muslims, when they have inferiority complex and they look at other qawms and they consider that they are low and the others are higher, than their ma'amala, their situation is finished and azab is coming on that qawm. That's the worst qawm, that worst person, that mentally he has belittled himself. His akal has gone, vanished, disappeared. So listen further. So they research with regards to wudu. Why did Allah Ta'ala give us wudu? Cleaning. We don't even know. So they are researching other qawm because they are impressed by us. That we say, subhanAllah, that for example, we hear the stories from our Kabrina, pious people. They said they were ajeeb people. And these people are wasters. They know about us though, that when we don't practice the deen, and they're researching about deen. Just like somebody wrote a kitab that the 100 greatest people in the history of mankind, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was included in that list. This is their research. So if Allah gave iman, that may Allah give them iman as well, belief. Was this makhluk creation, alhamdulillah? And if they have iman, then they'll be great people if they have belief. So the hands, washing the hands first in wudu. What does Allah Ta'ala say? That how is washing the hands related to salah? But this is such the greatness of salah, such the mercy of salah, that before you get to salah, Allah says that I want to give you amal. I want to give you rewards before you get to salah. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi. Allah says that there's so many du'as. There's a du'a, isn't it? That how is this related to salah? That, oh Allah, I am washing my hands. Allah, forgive my sins. Allah says, okay, I forgive your sins. And Allah says that go, for example, for sins being forgiven, you could have to be a condition, go to the Kaaba, go here, travel there. But no, Allah says prior to salah, wash your hands. Sins are being forgiven. Allah, give me wusat. Allah, increase my strength and my capacity. Allah, increase everything that's related to me. So you're doing wudu and you're doing this dua. Allah says, I've given to you. So what is this reward for? This is the reward for salah. Say subhanallah. Ajib beyond today, and it's a different beyond today. Different beyond today. This is also dhikr, subhanAllah. So look at, you're washing your hands, you're wiping your hands, and what is the dua you're doing? Allah says, now in the dunya, you are living in the world, ask me, I will forgive your sins, and I'll give you increase, barakah, blessings, barik rizki. Allah says that I will give you so much barakah in your rizq that you won't be able to look after it. So we do this dua, don't we? Whilst we're washing the hands, bismillah, we do this dua. We ask Allah for increase in sustenance, in provision, rizq. And the most important thing of ours is what? The most important thing is health. Health. Say subhanAllah. Health. If you have health, then you can do things. If you've got health, you got body. And if you got body, then you come to the masjid, you'll eat and drink and you'll do things in the world. So first and foremost, before coming to salah, Allah's prepared for your health. I'm trying to explain to you how. So these hands, the connection, yes, and in this body, Allah Ta'ala's put the connection from the fingers to the whole of the body and all the parts of the body. For example, in the body we have the liver, we have the kidney, we have the different organs, and all of the things, they are connected to the hands through the fingers and the fingertips. Allah has connected everything. So research, I'm telling you, this is the truth. So in this, that for example, when an individual, that his system of his body, the how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it and how it functions, that when you put water onto your hands, when you put, you do wudu the way you do this, and you utilize that water and do wudu, then it refreshes your body, your organs, your kidney, your liver, everything is refreshed with it. Yes, that's why we see that the person who prays salah is fantastic. Sicknesses will come, but there are ajeeb sicknesses that the person who prays salah regularly experiences. Subhanallah. So this is just wudu, the hikmah of wudu that we're going through here. That all the sicknesses that are released, yes, that all your hands, you wash your arms up to the elbows, and there's a nervous system within that it refreshes from your fingertips to your elbows, and then throughout the rest of your body, through the veins and the nervous system, it refreshes the whole body. And you're doing dua, you're getting rizq, you're getting forgiveness, your sins are being forgiven, your rizq is being increased, and barakat are coming, and your health is being refreshed as well at the same time. And what does Allah say? Pray salah. No, I don't want to pray salah, Allah. I can't. Other qawms say that there's no more person who has got misfortune in his life. They're not listening to their Rabb. Foolish people, Allah is inviting you to such a great action, and the preparation itself is so great. What need does Allah have to tell us to pray salah? That we, if we were to learn that, for example, if they write a book and publish this, that due to salah, look, for example, where was the cure for corona? It was in washing the hands, wasn't it? Clean hands hygiene, but we listen to them. If Allah said that just by washing the hands, the first washing of the hands, I'll forgive you, I'll give you rizq, I'll give you barakat, and I'll cure your kidneys and liver and your organs in your body, and your whole bodily system I'll refresh. Say subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So let's go to the second point then. Just a little bit, I'll explain to you. If I go into a lengthy description, then we'll be here for a long time. Let's come to the face. So what do you do on the face? Allah says that wash your face with the water. Take the water. As soon as you splash it onto the face for wudu. Okay, just here. A G point the researchers say here. That this action we're doing here. The non-Muslims say this. That for this action, if you do the wudu in the tarteeb, the manner that Allah Ta'ala has told you to do it, then you'll get the benefit. Otherwise you won't get the benefit. They're in research in laboratory. Subhanallah. They say that with this tarteeb, this method, the first you wash your hands, then you wash your face, then after that you will see the benefit, otherwise you won't get the benefit. Say subhanallah. Yes? Otherwise there's no benefit. You have to follow that order. So the second part is wash the face. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the things that are in your face, there are five parts within us. Five parts, five senses you could say. Isn't it? Five senses. And that all our life is dependent on the senses, the five senses that we have. Allah has given to us eating, drinking, smelling. And these five senses that Allah Ta'ala has put in our face, in our mouths, that when we say Bismillah and we splash the water onto the face, then those five senses immediately get refreshed and improved. The system again gets refreshed. Number two, subhanAllah, what happens? Is that our sight, our vision, whoever's vision is weak or he's got sickness in the eye, disease, immediately, alhamdulillah, there's a sparkle in the eyes and the disease or the sickness gets improved. Let's go beyond that. And a greater example. So masah, wiping the water on the body parts. Masah, do you understand that? The great action that we leave out. If you ask people, oh no, it's wajib, sunnah, not needed. My brothers, don't argue on these points. Whatever action the Prophet has done, just do that action. I always say this to you, don't I? Allah, for the sake of Allah, don't go into this. It's wajib, this is sunnah, leave this, don't have to do this, not necessary. Forget arguing of these things. There are these law sort of categories, but for some other reason, they weren't made these differentiation levels that you don't practice it. It's just to give you the emphasis levels. But remember this, the respected scholars have said that these differentiation, wajib and this is not wajib, so you don't have to do it. This is sunnah, ghayr muakkada, you don't have to do it. This does not mean that you don't do the actions. No, not at all. We have to practice those actions. We have to don't leave the actions that Allah's Nabi ﷺ has done whatever He's demonstrated to us and told us to do, don't leave it, because behind them are so many benefits that you cannot imagine. Yes, the only the friends of Allah, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Laftani rahmatullah alayhi, said that if you were to learn at-tahiyyat, that the finger that you raise within that action, the fawaid, the virtues and benefits, never could you leave this action in your life. This finger to raise it up and to drop it in the at-tahiyyat position. This is the kamal. Why? Because Allah's Nabi Sallam demonstrated this to us. So this finger, what you will get in your life, He said that I cannot explain to you that Allah Ta'ala has showed the benefits. Allah Ta'ala shows to the walis of Allah, to His friends, that such a storm is there within the action, such a benefit, because Allah's Nabi Sallam did it, so definitely there's benefit in it. So we just need to understand the research, that what did Nabi Sallam, that's the only research we need to do, is what actions did he do in his life? Say, Subhanallah, may Allah make us alim, give us ilam. Do research on this, that what did the Prophet Sallam do all his life and spread this deen to people? Allah's Nabi did this, he did this, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he did this, he did this, he did this. Research on that in your life. Until Qiyamah, we should publicize this. And publish this and make it common that Allah Ta'ala, He didn't say for nothing that imitate my Nabi. This is the misal example I gave to you. So come to the face. Back to the face. So masa is such a great action. When you do masa, wipe the wet hands, the behind the ears, there are also veins. Medically, you can look at the reports that you can see all of the nerves of the body, they are linked to the nervous system in the brain. All the nerves in the body, and the person who properly prepares for salah and does masa properly in wudu, then all the diseases of the brain will be protected. No stroke, no optical issues, no brain issues, no defect in the brain, no dementia either, not even dementia. Subhanallah. And never will he have other issues related to the mind and the brain. If you want to make your children hafidh, now I'll tell you this, isn't it? That the children today, they have sort of optical issues or mind issues. When you teach them wudu, when he does fresh wudu regularly, then all the defects will come out of the system. They'll become so mashallah brainy that you'll sit him down and start doing hifz of the Quran. That's why I said, start your life of the child with salah. Start the child's life with salah. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I'm emphasizing. Because there's not just one thing, salah, that you're just praying salah. Salah in the wudu, the preparation, there's fantastic benefits. When you see a child is sick, mind issue, mentally issue, shaitaniyat, inclined towards evil and wrong, there'll be control because his nerves and the nervous system in the mind, in the brain and the body. Teach the child to do wudu according to the sunnah tariqah. Not this, they just do shuka wudu quickly, this is farda, I'll just do these four parts, leave these other things, don't need to do masa, don't need to wipe hair, and this mubah, this is gair muqadda, no mubah, nothing. Behind the neck, such a great place where the nerves meet, the whole system of your brain and your mind immediately is become full of noor and light. If you do it properly, the wudu. This is their research, they say that this is the great effect of doing wudu completely. Look at this. So when the child learns this from a young age, where will he reach in his life? Imagine what a great personality he'll become. Then come to the feet. Feet that we wash. Amazing action washing the feet. And the khilal of the fingers, the toes on the feet. Amazing action that this is your finger. You start from this side of the foot. Do you do it? If you don't do it, tell me. Learn how to do wudu properly, how to wash the feet. This is wudu correctly. You're losing all of the benefits if you're not doing it properly. We should attain the benefits. The wudu, don't think it's some minor action. Then imagine how great is salah itself. With wudu, the preparation is so fantastic. That if the wudu, it makes you a healthy person. So that you can go with khushu and focus and tranquility and remember Allah with health. Full health. Another point I've just remembered now, I'll share with you as well. So after the feet. Then I'll explain it to you. So when you do khilal of the fingers of the feet, the toes of the feet, then you pass your fingers through the toes, a beautiful achievement that is. The Allah Ta'ala says such a great system that within the toes, that where, subhanAllah, all of your legs, when for example you have pain in the legs, you have knee, you have arthritis of the leg, you have the issues with the kneecap or the joints, so do masa of the foot, clean the foot properly, clean the between the toes properly. Then mashallah, on every rukun there's a dua as well, every rukun of the wudu. This is a deen, my brothers, this is Islam. So if you learn those duas and recite them at the same time in parallel, then there's light beyond light in your wudu that you're doing. Yes? Do you think that the Prophet ﷺ did these du'as for nothing? No, when you do du'a, when you do wudu, when you wash your hands, do du'a. When you throw the water on the face, do this du'a. When you wash the feet, do this du'a. When you do complete wudu, then do this du'a, then the 8 doors of Jannah will be opened up for you. SubhanAllah, healthy, vibrant, refreshed. And Muslims like this, his wudu makes him a proper human being. His kidney, organs, livers, eyes, brain, everything Allah Ta'ala puts together, nice pieces together before he even arrives to Salah. Why? Because Allah says, I want you to see me in the Salah. So this is the tarbiyat of the child. When you bring the children like this, then imagine what the society will be, tell me. Will be thieves in our society? Bandits? Gangsters? No. We'll have proper human beings in society. You have to work hard for this. But we don't work hard on our children. In our generation, we've not worked hard. We haven't worked hard. Just we make them repeat, make him this, make him that, make him this, make that, end of story. Just so that after that, oh, make my child this, make him child that, make him that, give him this career and this title and that's it. And then like that, we just run into our graves and we haven't earned the dunya, we haven't earned the hereafter. We've just closed the Qur'ans, we read the Qur'an in Ramadan, do hifs of the Qur'an apart from them. We don't have no knowledge of what is the Qur'an, what's inside the Qur'an. One verse of the Qur'an I've recited today, 1.5 hours I'm explaining that verse to you now. And there's no wasteful discussion. Is it wasteful discussion? Is it wasteful knowledge? I'm telling you, the whole life summary essence I've told you in one verse of the Qur'an. Tell me. So what Allah Ta'ala has given to us, one solution, chemical solution. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, he descended from Hira and came with a solution for the whole of mankind. He said that I'm giving you a beautiful solution of gold. If you accept it, grab it, hold firmly. Then remember, never will you go astray. Never will you go astray. Message of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and he gave us the Quran. And solve your issues through the Quran. Salah and Quran is such a great solution for the mu'min. Enjoyment in his life, complete enjoyment. We don't teach our children Salah, we don't teach them how to do wudu, they don't have no manners, and we don't give the importance. If I tell you the importance of the beard, worldly benefits of the beard, you'll be amazed. Everything of the sunnah, I'll try to explain to you medically the benefits in the dunya itself. So wudu, just give you a quick summary. There's kitabs that are printed about the benefits of wudu. And how long, when should we learn this from? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when should you teach your children or teach yourself from when? When the child is 7 years old. Those children who are sick, for example, then teach them to do wudu. Listen, about wudu, remember our point about wudu. Let's take depression. Depression or severe anger, extreme anger, get depression, there's fighting at home, arguments at home, we're taking tranquilizers, antidepressants, or mental health issues, or problems in the head, can't solve the problems, can't understand, there's quarrels and disputes. What's the cure for this? Tell me, SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. Immediately go. When there's a condition like this, do wudu, as I explained to you, do wudu, fresh wudu, after doing wudu. Then in that state of wudu, come to the prayer mat, pray 2 rakah, nafil salah, alhamdulillah. Whatever problem you have, you will see the solution starts to come. All solutions will start to come. Don't need to go to anyone for advice. The anger will disappear, depression will disappear, and peace will come to all of the issues that you have in your life will come. Ajib, unique. Just 2 rakah, salah, nafil, after that wudu, pray. But that come in the wet state. Don't dry yourself. Just do the wudu and fresh in the wet state. Pray the 2 nafil salah. No, I can't do this. I can't achieve this. Nothing will happen if your niyyah is not correct. What should be your niyyah? Quran is haq. Allah is haq. His Rasul is haq. Sahaba haq. Companions haq. Wali Allah is haq. Bring this into your mind first. Put this taweez around your neck. Jannat is haq. Hell is haq. All of these things are truth. Nabi is haq. Prophet is haq. Wali Allah is a haq. Everything is haq, truth, truth. Make this taweez tie around your neck and then you'll see, then follow the Quran and see how you will start to practice all of the deen and have the right niyyah. So my brothers, salah is a great action. May Allah Ta'ala make us all prayers of people who pray salah. And these things I was saying, I'll summarize and repeat again so you're not confused. What was I saying? Don't go here, left and right. That's why I say listen to my bayan at least once after again. Listen to it. And after an hour it will be published, mashallah. But listen to it. Not negatively. start swearing, criticizing, oh, you were saying this about the Quran, but look what this person says about the Quran, Mawlana Sahib, look his tafsir, what this Mawlana Sahib is saying, what are you saying? Don't look at that. My listen to the bayans, my bayans positively, not angrily or criticizing with a light heart. Maybe they pinch you a little bit, my words, but don't take my points negatively. What I say, take them positively, what I'm saying. Positively. Don't be upset. Start criticizing, it's too hard, this, these messages, and start swearing. And lot of negative things I have to hear, mashallah, regularly. Negatives I have to hear regularly. Such swears people give. You'll go, they'll hear, they'll be on them, big swear words will come, they'll write negative comments. But what happens, mashallah, my darja goes up and they go towards Jahannam. Because my niyat is correct. What I'm saying with the niyat of Jannah that you can improve yourselves. So my darjat will be increased, Allah's Nabi Sallam said. That when people like this, when a person with a nice niyyah intention wants to advise people, and if people after that swear at him and scold him, message will come around, now, you are this and you will do this for you, you telling us to pray Salah. Why are you telling us to pray Salah? Such things people say. I'm grateful to Allah, I'm grateful to you that I am implementing the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallam. The Abu Jahl are still here today in society. They're still in society today, they are present. Yes, so I'm not sad about this, no fikr about these things, people swearing and criticizing. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah. And you, if you want to swear, that's your problem. But if positively you listen to the bayans, you will make your life. And I'll be very happy about that as well. I'll be very happy about that. I have no enemy. Wallahi, I'm sat on the prayer mat, and the prayer mat is far from me. I am not worthy of that. I don't sit on the prayer mat. This is for Malana Sahib. That's his job to sit on the prayer mat. I'm just sat here in the house of Allah, on the carpet. But the prayer mat is next to me. And I am saying clearly, I have no enemy, I have no enmity with anybody, I have no issue with anybody, I have no negativity with me. I've never understood in my life what is an enemy. I swear by Allah, I've never understood or accepted in my life that I can have an enemy, because I've never said bad to anybody. So if you don't say any bad thing bad to anyone or consider anybody as bad, then you'll never say that that person is your enemy. Yes, so mashallah, people in the dunya, there's a great couple, somebody wrote that I shake hands with a lot of, I don't know if he's going to deceive me or he dislikes or etc. He's negative. So I have no enemy, alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah. Everyone is my friend. Everyone is my friend. I have no consideration. That's why I go here and there. And people say to me, don't go here. They'll say this, he'll hate you, he'll say this to you, bad to you, he'll do this to you. I said, me? I haven't said anything bad to anyone, so why should anyone do anything to me? Yes, no problem. Yes, I am good for everybody and I think good about everybody. Yes. So, I'll repeat quickly what I said today, that the biggest fikr today, the need today is because we are split up today, we are just Muslims by name, a broken society, our masjids, everything around us is a waste. I tell you the truth, it's not that what Allah Ta'ala wants from us as a society, our standard, how high we are, in reality the maqam that Allah Ta'ala has given to us Muslims and Islamic society, the deen is given to us, our introduction to the angels that Allah Ta'ala gave, we are not that today. What's the reason for that? Listen carefully, I'm repeating what I've said today. The reason for that is what? Why are we not what we should be today? Because we've left the Quran. And have we left the Quran? Because we don't do amal on the Quran. We don't practice the Quran. Do you understand what I'm saying? So take the Quran. And how should you take the Quran? How should you correct yourself? Yes? How should you? It's never too late. I said, never. It's never too late. Qu anfusakum. How do you improve yourself? That correct yourself first and also correct your families as well. Improve yourself and improve your family. Start from their wife, children, family. How? Beat them with a stick? No. Just say one thing. Emphasize on one thing. You yourself have to practice that, this action, and you have to emphasize to the family. What's the action? Say loudly. Salah. Salah. That's it. That's it. That's the message of today. Work hard on that. Emphasize your child is young. Take them and teach them salam. The salah is solid, repetitive. Then take them to Quran and the things I've told you. Wudu will refresh their minds, their brains, everything. The solutions will come. This is the message today. Salah, take hold of it. Grab hold of the Quran for amal, for practice. Alhamdulillah, recite it. Read it. I'm not saying don't read it. Read it a lot. But understand the objective of the Quran. What is what? Amal of the Quran. Practice the Quran. Guidance we have to take from where? From the Quran. Constitution is from where? Quran. That's it. And we, in the world and the hereafter, what we will get success through what? Through what? Salah. Salah. Small sabak. Small lesson. Our constitution is what? Quran. And our success is based on what? The key to our success is what? Salah. So children, teach them salah. 7-year-old, bring them. to prayer, and don't beat them in the masjid. Don't tell them off in the masjid. They'll never come again then towards the masjid. Many children, I've seen them, I've said, no, no, we were young, we were sworn at, slapped at, and we used to take us out of the masjid. No, persevere and have patience. They're children. Okay, if they do naughty things in the masjid, tell them, masleh, masail, this, that, do that. What's the point of giving them big masleh, masail? Just be, persevere, have patience. Even if their salah is a bit kacha, and we say, oh, your salah is broken. We keep telling them off. I'm not a mufti, I'm not telling masleh, masail, but their salah is not that weak. Maybe the child, if he comes regularly, let him come. Don't just point out the mistakes right away. The father's trying, explaining. Even the father, take your child and make him stand where others are not disturbed, so that others don't criticize. The father shouldn't do this, bring the child and he's not going to understand, he's standing there and he's naughty and jumping up and down. That's not good either. Bring your child, bring it to the masjid, but bring such a tariqah that other people are not disturbed. But other people also shouldn't do the same. If something happens suddenly, just have sabr, patience, they're children. Yes, and they're like angels. And then talqeen, then don't make noise loudly, then go to the corner, just put the hand over the head, give a sweet to the child, explain, child, don't do this, do it like this, it's not good to do this, nicely, lovingly. And we say, next time if you come, you don't do that, I'll give you another sweet. Then see how the child comes nicely on the path. I was praying salah so loudly, I heard the slap noise. I was scared. What's happened here? I'm telling you. There are various incidents in this masjid. Very loud slap I heard whilst the salah was going on. Quickly, I finished my salah. I looked, such a big child, and his mouth, his face was red. A man next to him was slapping. I said, why are you slapping the child? Oh, he spoke loudly. I said, what's that? For that you slapped him. So what? Yes, so severe a slap, his face was red with slap. One child was praying next to me, they're children. And somebody sat the child down next to me. I was praying salah and he started playing with my watch during salah. And he took my watch off during salah. Yeah, I said, oh, it's fine, take it off, no problem. Then I made my durood long. Yes, the child, maybe it was a disabled child, not well, took my watch off, started playing with my watch. And then I finished salah and stood up. Then he started playing, and then is my salah finished? Allah's Nabi said that Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu used to sit on his shoulders and he used to play. He never used to tell him off like that. Allah's Nabi has taught us that children are children. So what I'm trying to say here is that we start our lives with salah and we make our children regular in salah and we bring our children to the masjid, then we also need to give them some encouragement, have some patience or not. Tell me, say subhanallah. Will we do this, brothers? First and foremost, be responsible yourself, teach manners to your children, give them tariqah, methods, so they don't make noise. First, do that yourself first, work hard. Not that you just bring the child, he's got no awareness, and just stand him in the middle and say, this is the masjid, don't talk loud, adab, manners, give encouragement. And then if the child does do something naughty, then don't give punches and slaps on their face and stuff. Don't start screaming at them. Just have sabr and patience with them. Give them tabligh and encouragement, because these are our future namazis, the children. And he's going to become an imam in the future. He's going to become a muazzin. Calling the azan, he'll come towards imamat. The child. So that the fear is not there. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice on this. Ameen. MashaAllah, we've recharged our batteries. MashaAllah, you've recharged my battery. So let's do some dhikr now. Recite the Rushi.
وقنا عذاب النار
فقنا عذاب القبر فقنا عذاب الحشر فقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين اللهم صمتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اكتحاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض يا شافي الأمراض يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في صمي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم أنبئهم قمرا بيانا سعيدا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.